Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is, as I usually say, a fun day in the studio. I just have to stop saying that, I guess.
You need a new phrase, Andy. We'll have to get a thesaurus. How's that?
Here we go. It's fun and it's educational.
Oh, great.
It's functional. No, wait, that's already a word.
That is definitely a word.
That's really bad. Our guest is like trying to hold in the laughter because that was such a bad pun.
She's going to leave.
In studio, continuing our series, Donna Pyle, in studio author and Bible study leader for LWML, and has some great Bible study material with CPH as well. It all started in, and we shared this in the previous episode, all started with LWML Bible study. And the pastor said, well, you do it.
That's what happens when you have a good idea.
Right.
And suggest it.
Jump in.
And so we shared that you have five Bible studies with Concordia Publishing House and five Bible studies with LWML, and some new stuff coming out this year, video Bible studies with LWML. Tell us a little bit about what is what's cooking. What's coming out in your LWML Bible studies?
Well, Bible study number five for them, it's called Where Love Abides, and it's based on John 15, and it's the vineyard. I'm the vine, you are the branches. And there's so much in John 15:1-17. It's unbelievable. And this study was so exciting because we stepped it up a notch and actually videoed part of it in an actual vineyard. And looking at John 15, walking through the vineyard, the pages of Scripture just burst into life. It was amazing to see and smell and kind of be there reading those passages. And I'm really excited about this one. It releases July 5th in Texas for LWML and goes nationwide.
You were literally in a vineyard.
Yes. And you know, the coolest thing that me and the team saw was when it came to the pruning process, because pruning hurts spiritually. When God prunes stuff out of our life, sometimes it hurts. Well, in an actual vineyard, when you prune a vine, it weeps and they look like teardrops, and it waits about 2 minutes and then it heals up and it's fine. But it was such a clear visual of the fact that, yeah, pruning hurts, but you're going to be okay because the vine dresser's got you. And it was so powerful to see that.
Wow, what an illustration.
Yeah.
Wow. You mentioned, the smells.
Yes. The vineyard we were at Gage Farm, Don and Linda Gage, we were up there. They do grapes, Concord grapes for Welch's. And so walking up there in the harvest time, you're just smelling grape juice. It was so fantastic. I almost wish the video was scratch and sniff. It's so fantastic.
Scratch and sniff video.
Yeah, but we were there in the winter season where it was just nothing but sticks. And then in the harvest season, that late September, and the leaves are as big as plates and the grape bunches hanging. It was unbelievable to see the fruit of what God can bring from sticks. And that's so applicable to us and to our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Obviously there's a lot of preparation that goes into creating a study like this, but was there something that came out of it after being in the vineyard and filming? Was there something that came out of it that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, that really everything is going to be okay. You know, we're used to hearing that. You know, God's got you, it's going to be okay. But when you see what looks like lifeless sticks, and then you see 7-foot-tall vines with huge bunches of grapes that are fruit that he has borne, it was such a visual of what he does with us. And I think that was the coolest thing for all of us, really.
Oh, I still have the talk.
You do. Go ahead.
So this study on John 15, Where Love Abides, what do you hope? I mean, this may be an obvious question, but what do you hope people will get out of it?
Well, you know what? We all go through really hard seasons sometimes of pruning and stuff like that, and God preparing the soil of our heart. And I did a lot of research on vineyards going into this. And one of the things they do to plant a new vine is they rip the soil, and they take these machines and like make these cuts in the soil, and they rip up the soil to get rid of the bad stuff to prepare for the good. And when he plants us and, you know, grafts us into the vine, how I just wish I could just like teach it all right now. It's so exciting. But I hope people come away knowing that if their life looks like a dead winter season and there's blood on the stump, it gets better in Christ.
Mm. That what a great visual. Now, when you mentioned that you studied vineyards, you know, one might think that you had to visit a lot of vineyards.
I did visit a couple. I did. But what the coolest thing is that I didn't notice that you can actually see the point of grafting, because the rootstock, which is what is in the ground, is different than what's called the varietal, which is grafted in. And that's the kind of grape, whether it's mm-hmm. Chardonnay or Concord or Merlot. And you can always see the place where it was grafted. And that had that wound. It's a deep V that's cut in both parts, and it's put together by a special tape. And that's really what Christ did for us. He grafted us in with his blood, and we're okay because our roots are him.
Hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool.
And you, how much time, that's not even a fair question, in preparation as you prepare for a Bible study like this? You know, in our last conversation, you shared studying and using a wealth of commentaries and resources, relying on your pastors, having all these resources to go to, looking at the biblical languages, the original languages as well. Any estimate of how much time it takes to prepare for a study like this? And then you go on location and are recording, filming on location as well. But the preparation for something like this to study and to be able to prepare for the illustrations then that you're going to see on site.
Well, I tell you what, I'm glad for deadlines, let's just put it that way, because I totally geek out and nerd out, and I could spend the rest of my life in John 15. It's such an incredible set of passages. But really, I'm thankful for deadlines, because I could just go on and on. But probably there's a probably good 5 or 6 months of hard research that goes into it to make it so that people understand what was going on in the climate and why was Jesus teaching that at that point in time. Why was that relevant then for the disciples as they walked there? And when you put all that together, scripture just comes to life, and you can easily apply it to your own life. And it makes it real. It makes it real.
You are such a student of the word that you go about this very seriously. I mean, you go in head first when you're studying. Tell me about when you became a serious student of the word.
Well, I didn't grow up in church, and so when God finally got me there, drug me there, kicking and screaming, however you want to put it, once I realized what his word gave us, I mean, life and hope and encouragement, I just wanted to know as much as I could about it. And so all of these studies that I've done are basically passages that I've either heard in a sermon or heard in a Bible class and thought, what's behind that? And I'll just start researching it for me so that I can understand more of Scripture. And before I know it, it's 6 months later, and it's like, oh, maybe I should share this with other people, you know, because what a waste if it just sat there. And I wish more people would do that. I think of these theologians researching all this stuff behind the desk, and it just stays with them, and I wish it wouldn't.
And so stepping up and sharing this at LWML and now with your books with CPH, and in addition to Bible studies, you also have some other pieces out there as well, some other works that you've written. We've had a chance to talk about Without This Ring. Mm-hmm. Do you have another?
Forgiveness, the Forgiveness that came out last year. And that really was birthed from Without This Ring, because when I wrote that book after my very unexpected, very painful divorce, there was just a little chapter on forgiveness. And the number one question I got everywhere I went was, tell me how to do that. I have all this junk inside. No matter what I do, how hard I pray, it's still there. All that anger and bitterness and gunk, how? And out of that came a whole book, a whole study on forgiveness and how to walk in that freely, because it really is freedom for us. It has nothing to do with the person who hurt us.
And what a message that is, so countercultural to the world we live in today, that forgiveness, we don't really talk about that. To put this in a book that reaches an audience, as you said, there are people coming to you saying, how do you, how do you move on? How do you forgive? How do you move on to be able to put this in a book that people are going to sit down and embrace and hear what you have to say, really what God's word ultimately has to say about forgiveness, but how to practice that and how it's worked for you, how forgiveness was so key in that chapter in your life and still today for everyone.
Well, and debunking myths also mm-hmm. that I think a lot of people think that when you forgive, it's done. Like it's a one done deal. And if you remember, then that means you haven't forgiven. And so we had to go through a lot in the book of debunking. Okay, just because you've not forgotten doesn't mean you haven't forgiven. That's such a lie. And it was not only telling the truth, but debunking some really harmful lies that keep us trapped.
Yeah. Well, we are human. Mm-hmm. Forgive and forget doesn't, it doesn't come very easily.
Yeah, because revenge can feel pretty good, but it's devastating.
Yeah. We just a couple of minutes left, but I want to touch on your the Nehemiah study that you're really obviously really excited about. Tell us what this study is about.
Oh, well, this is about perseverance, because I really think for all of us, there's one thing in our life, whether it's a habit to break or an addiction to conquer or a debt to retire, a relationship to store, there's one thing that's been there for years, that if we just focused on the one thing, trusting God in prayer, that he could do miraculous things. And so the book of Nehemiah, you know, it's like, why not Paul? Why not Jesus? But Nehemiah had the one task of rebuilding the wall, and he got on that wall, and he didn't get off until it was finished. And Nehemiah 1-7 is literally a roadmap that we can apply to our life of how to deal with the one thing in our life that just has been there forever.
Where did this come from? I mean, Nehemiah isn't a chapter. I'm not sure I've ever actually sat through a Bible study on Nehemiah. So where did this idea for this Bible study come from?
Well, once again, it was a personal quest. It was like, how come I can't be, there's nothing like health-wise wrong with me, but I'm a heavy person because I love food and I love social. Why is that a deal? Why can't I get a handle on that? What is the deal? And that's been there for 30 years. And it's like, okay, we're going to do a study because I need to learn how to deal with this, how to surrender it, how to let him handle it. And even though the study is not about that one thing, for me, that was the one thing for me, the health issue. But for other people, it's cavernous debt, or it's an addiction, whether it's alcohol or smoking or drugs. And so it's not just about health issues. It's about the one thing that inhibits our relationship with God in an open way. It's the stumbling block that's always there.
Coming this fall.
Yeah, I'm here to tape it this weekend.
Mm-hmm. So spending some time here in St. Louis, recording or taping with Concordia Publishing House. So we'll be looking for that this fall. And I know that the women's group at our church has already looked at several of the pieces from CPH. I don't know if
amazing.
They know about the LWML ones now. I'm going to have to share those. Yeah.
Oh, there are. Those. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to share that with them. Well, hopefully they're listening now.
Right?
They know.
Yes,
right.
Exactly.
Donna,
yes.
It's always fun to have you in studio. Well, always. This is the first time that, you know, having you this series in St. Louis. It's a delight to have you in studio. Always fun to talk with you, hear about the work that you're doing. God's blessings on this project, this study for Nehemiah. Perseverance.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being our guest on the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you.